Hello and welcome to the Thursday, March 10th edition of Juno Afternoon on your very own KTOO. We've got a jam-packed show, UAS, Arts Up, Perseverance Theater, Spring Break, Camps, and we're going to learn about a new approach to dementia care and the Fly Fishing Film Festival. All that and more. Stay tuned.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Arizona, several tribes fall within the mostly rural Legislative District 7, the state's largest district. As Arizona Public Radio's Ryan Heinches reports, a Navajo woman has officially announced her state Senate run for the area.
Democrat and former state representative Jamesita Peshlakai announced 2 weeks ago she would run for state Senate. Peshlakai served in the Persian Gulf War and is currently the veterans liaison for the Navajo Nation Office of the President and Vice President. She was born and raised in the district and wants to bring her local experience to the state Senate.
Even though I'm a Navajo, we're all in the same boat. We're all rural Arizonans. We all have families to feed and interests to protect, other interests to further, like creating jobs and protecting our water.
Former Democratic State Senator Jack Jackson Jr. may also be considered a bid. Records from the Secretary of State's office show he's formed a political committee to run for the LD-7 Senate seat. Jackson works for the U.S. State Department. He hasn't officially announced his candidacy. LD-7, which is mostly rural, spans 7 counties in northern and eastern Arizona. It represents 8 Native American tribes, including the Navajo, Hopi, Hualapai, and Havasupai. The race will fill a vacancy created by Republican Senator Carlisle Begay's run for Arizona's 1st Congressional District. I'm Ryan Heiches in Flagstaff.
The Oklahoma State Senate passed a bill this week which requires 2/3 of the Senate to approve all tribal compacts and cooperative agreements. KGOU's Brian Hartzinski has more.
During floor debate Wednesday, State Senator Greg Treat said his bill is modeled after federal tribal compact negotiations and that the state's agreements with Oklahoma's 39 federally recognized tribes do have an effect on the state budget.
The tribal members who have elected representatives are well represented in the compact process. We have abdicated that responsibility by not allowing us to have some ratification.
The Oklahoma City Republican urged his colleagues to examine the financial implications of tribal license plates and hunting, fishing, and tobacco compacts. The bill now goes to the State House for consideration. I'm Brian Hartzinski in Norman, Oklahoma.
The Sitka Fine Arts Camp recently opened a permanent art installation, which showcases pieces from local Alaska Native artists. KCAW's Brielle Schaefer reports.
Strength, loss, healing, transformation. Those are the themes present in the art adorning new gallery space in Allen Hall. A trio of Robert Davis Hoffman's graphic paintings of Native stories, Salmon Boy, The Woman Who Married a Bear, and Raven Baby, line the stairwell. His artist statement says those stories are all ones of transformation, representing how the campus became what it is today. Above the stairs is a canopy of copper Devil's Club leaves, crafted by artist and curator of the collection, Mary Goddard. She says Devil's Club is a symbol of healing and protection in Tlingit culture. She wanted her piece to evoke feelings
similar to when you go for a walk in the forest and you're walking under these great big giant leaves and you feel protected and you feel secure.
Her piece is the bridge between Jennifer Younger's Copper Fragmented, representing the Presbyterian presence in Tlingit culture, and Dave Glannon's 4-foot copper Tanah, which looks like a shield, a symbol of wealth and status. To Younger, the artwork's story is one of perseverance.
Any maybe hurt, even if it's unintentional, that we all can heal and bring it all back together, full circle.
The Siri Foundation and matching monies from the Stewart family funded the exhibit. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Brielle Schaefer.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Support for this program is provided by the Native American Arts Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at narf.org and join the fight for Native rights. Support by Vision Maker Media, whose mission is to empower and engage Native people to tell stories. On February 20th, Vision Maker Media celebrates 40 years of advancing Native culture, heritage, wisdom, sacred stories, and the storyteller. More at visionmakermedia.org. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Hello and welcome back to Juno Afternoon. It is March 10th and the weather right now is mostly cloudy, highs around 44, light winds near downtown Juno and Douglas. Tonight rain likely, lows 33 to 36, and tomorrow rain likely with a snow level of 800 feet in the morning, highs around 43 in the afternoon and partly cloudy tomorrow night. And at the airport right now it's 43, downtown is 45, and in the valley it is 40 degrees. Speaking of the valley, every Thursday we have our UAS corner, and we have Eric Scott here from the UAS campus, which is located in the valley or out the road, more aptly probably. And he's here to talk about some new policies on the campus. Welcome, Eric.
Good afternoon, Joan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to meet you. So what is cooking at UAS? What's the new policy we're talking about?
Well, so this fall we'll be implementing a new policy in our student housing, which is gender-inclusive housing. And so what this means is that students who opt into this selection will be able to select the roommates and be assigned to our apartment-style housing, irrespective of gender.
Okay. So in the release that I have here, it talks about non-specified gender. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, traditionally, housing assignments at most universities have been made based on what's called a gender binary. And so if you're birth certificate says female, you would be housed with other female students. If your birth certificate says male, you would be housed with other male students. So what we know is the reality is some folks may say male on their birth certificate but identify as female. Some people may have male on their birth certificate and may identify the other way around. And so what this does is it takes gender out of the equation with when we make our housing assignments. So students that opt into gender-inclusive housing don't have to specify a gender as long as they have identified those people that they would like to room with.
Okay. And so this is a trend that's a nationwide trend that's taking off in universities in other states, and it's been implemented in this state as well, correct?
That's correct. Last year, the University of Alaska Fairbanks did initiate a pilot program in one of their housing communities. The thing that makes this great at UAS is that students living in any of our upper-class housing communities can opt into this option as long as they identify the requisite number of roommates.
Okay, that sounds great. And how has the pilot program been at UAS?
My understanding is it went off without a hitch and has been pretty well and welcomed on their campus.
All right. And if you're interested to learn more about this, there was a piece on NPR this morning that I think that if you searched around online, you could listen to it too, because here we are in Juneau, Alaska on the cutting edge, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that we really pride ourselves on at UAS is that we do have a good size to be agile and be able to respond to national best practices and trends in this way and hopefully implement them in a way that creates a really welcoming and positive environment for all of our students.
That sounds great. That sounds great. Speaking of your students, you have some sort of program going on that is wrapped around the April 15th deadline, not taxes, something else?
That's correct. So our housing applications for fall 2016 and spring 2017 are already available, and students who sign up, including new students that sign up for housing and are completed by April 15th, will be entered into a drawing for one of four $250 Alaska Airlines gift certificates.
No, that's great. So you've partnered with Alaska Airlines. That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. And so obviously if housing is open, then the whole catalog is online for next year as well.
That's right.
All the different courses. So I know recently you have the new beautiful freshman housing right there on the campus. What's the percentage of people who take advantage of the housing?
Well, so So far as our Juneau campus, we have capacity for sort of max out at about 330 students. And so we sort of varied based on the time of year. But last year we had 260 students that moved in at the beginning of the year.
Well, that's great. That's great. All right. Well, thanks for coming down to downtown Juneau today. Eric, is there anything else we should know about what's going on in the university these days?
Just that, you know, our student activities and our campus life has been really strong in the last 2 years, and we're really, really excited about some of the big changes that we've made. We're working together very well, and we're really looking forward to continuing to grow our on-campus housing community. And so if you're thinking about starting a degree program or taking some classes, now's a great time to be at UAS, and we'd love to have you there.
Yeah, or families and friends down south, right?
Right on.
Who are thinking, hey, Alaska might be the place. That'll be great. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, the 10th of March, 2016. It's the birthday of Henry Fowler, born Tunbridge, England, 1858, who gave us a Dictionary of Modern English Usage, the authority on proper English, and from that comes the phrase, according to Fowler's. He was a schoolmaster, went to live in a stone cottage on the island of Guernsey off the coast of Normandy, near his brother Frank, who raised tomatoes. The two brothers collaborated on a book called The King's English, 1906, about grammar and punctuation, which was a big success, so they were commissioned to edit an abridged Oxford English Dictionary. And after Frank died of tuberculosis, Henry wrote his book about style, word usage, and good writing, in which he came down on the side of direct, vigorous style, opposed to the convoluted, the pedantic, and the arcane. Henry Fowler, who said, "Display of superior knowledge is as great a vulgarity as display of superior wealth, greater, indeed, inasmuch as knowledge should tend more definitely than wealth towards discretion and good manners." It was on this day, 1948, Zelda Fitzgerald died in the Highland Mental Hospital in Asheville, North Carolina. She'd been locked in a room awaiting electric shock therapy when a fire broke out in the hospital's kitchen. She and eight other women died, and she was buried next to Scott Fitzgerald in the family plot in Rockville, Maryland, under a tombstone with the last line from The Great Gatsby, "So we beat on boats against the current, borne back ceaselessly into the past." On this day in 1913, Harriet Tubman died, who'd been born to slave parents in Maryland around 1820. She was 15 years old when one day she refused to help an overseer restrain a runaway slave. She was hit in the head with a 2-pound weight, left unconscious, suffered from seizures after that, and began to have visions and prophetic dreams, which she viewed as messages from God. She escaped in 1849, made it to Philadelphia, and over 10 years she is believed to have led some 300 slaves into freedom in Canada on the Underground Railroad. There was a price on her head as high as $40,000, but she was never captured, nor were any of the slaves that she led to freedom. Here's a poem for today by Emily Dickinson, "The Love a Life Can Show." The love a life can show below is but a filament, I know, of that diviner thing that faints upon the face of noon and smites the tinder in the sun and hinders Gabriel's wing. 'Tis this in music hints and sways, and far abroad on summer days distills uncertain pain. 'Tis this enamors in the east and tints the transit in the west with harrowing iodine. 'Tis this invites, appalls, endows, flits, glimmers, proves, dissolves, returns, suggests, convicts, enchants, then flings in paradise. A poem by Emily Dickinson, The Love a Life Can Show. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, now available on iOS devices. Subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by LegalZoom, resources to help protect intellectual property, including trademark, copyrights, patents, and independent attorney consultations. Legal help is at LegalZoom.com. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
Almost twice as many Alaska Natives are exposed to secondhand smoke and aerosols in their workplace than non-natives. Secondhand smoke contributes to preventable illness and premature death. Smoke-free policies protect the public's health, discourage people from starting, and help people quit tobacco. 118 Alaskan tribes have passed comprehensive tobacco-free tribal resolutions. If your tribe wants to join this movement, contact SEARCH at 364-4452. This message is brought to you by SEARCH and the Partnership for Tobacco-Free Southeast.
Hello, welcome back to the show. It's 16 minutes after the hour on March 10th. You're listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO. I'm Joan Pardis, your Thursday host. Jeff Brown is the producer and engineer of the show. And our next guest is Shona Osterhout from Perseverance. And besides being here with our little education cap on, Shona was recently... You were like crowned the Motown Queen. Juno's Motown Queen. I was there.
A little sneak in. I like that.
I know. So Jeff and I are among royalty, Juno royalty right now. And she won a fair and square. There were three people who competed, and it was all the shows these days, vote. And
yeah, it was super fun.
Shona's our
queen.
And
it was such an honor to be on stage with Bobby Lewis and Eustace Johnson. It was just one of those things. I was like, okay, so this is a highlight. I could actually not do anything else again, and that would be fine.
It was really amazing. And if people don't, this team come up every year. It's been like 6 years, thanks to the Caulfields in town, and they do an amazing show, and they conduct
a
gospel
yeah.
choir. It's just like, holy moly, I am in Juno. This is fun.
Yeah, totally awesome.
It was great. So let's talk about Perseverance, and let's kick off with spring break. Spring break is week after next.
Week after next the Juno School District. And we offer spring break camp during that time. So this is our fifth year of offering it. It's a program I started because I think kids should always have a theater option when they don't have school, or even when they do. So there's three separate classes, and we don't actually offer a lot of classes for little people, so ages under 10. And so this is a time where I get to say, great, if you're 6 and up, come on down. So we offer creative dramatics, which is for ages 6 and up. And basically it's exploratory and play. So it's imaginative play is what we like to call it. You know, you're not going to – when we'll work on voice and all that kind of stuff too. But it's really imagination and having a lot of fun that way. And we also offer an improvisation class, and that's for ages 9 to 14. And improv is thinking off the top of your feet, and that's just super, super fun. And it's a lot of laughs too. And then we offer, this time, for the first year, I'm offering something called the Performance Intensive, and it's a five-hour-a-day course. So it's for real. It's like a pretty hardcore class, and we'll use a script, and we'll put on a show in 1 week. So
holy
students
moly.
Need to be able to learn lines really quickly. They need to be ready to rehearse. So we're taking people who are very serious about theater.
What's the age on that one?
That's ages 10 to 18.
Okay.
So we can, because I do believe that people who are young can be very serious. I've watched it year after year. So that's a 12 to 5 p.m., so it's a pretty hardcore little class there. And then creative dramatics and improvisation are offered at the same time in two different spaces from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. And I'm teaching the creative dramatics class. I'll teach the performance intensive. And then James Sullivan, who is a great actor, who's super, super funny and trained in Chicago with Second Stage, he is going to lead the improvisation class.
Oh, great. Wonderful. And is there space still?
Yeah, there's space still. And, you know, it's kind of great because we've been getting calls every single day. So it's filling, and I usually cap classes at 15 just so we can keep it actually legit in the space.
As a parent, I think I could say that collectively the switch just went on of like, spring break is week after next.
I know, exactly.
Like, oh, my gosh, if you don't have plans to go out of town, it's like, oh, my gosh, it's here.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
So, well, that sounds exciting.
Yeah,
that
and
sounds
there's
really
also
exciting.
Something awesome that's new for us this year as well, and this doesn't have to do with Juno, but I thought I'd put it out there because I know there's definitely a lot of legislators in town and stuff. We're actually offering spring break camp in Anchorage this year for the first time as well. So Anchorage spring break is next week, and so I'll be headed up to Anchorage on Sunday, offer spring break camp up there, actually a few different classes, and then come back here for spring break camp. So
no, that sounds great.
Yeah,
and that's really so that's been like how many years that Perseverance has had a real presence.
A real presence, 5 years, but like a, you know, a full season for the last three.
That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really, really great.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Perseverance. You've got a show starting, and also there's this partnership with UAS. So let's talk a little bit more.
Yeah. So we have a preview tonight, performance of not a children's play at all. Just going to throw that out there. It's called In the Next Room, or the Vibrator Play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Victorian comedy of manners, but you know, it's about the dawn of electricity and what that meant for female sexual empowerment. And so that has a preview tonight, and it opens tomorrow night. And this is one of those shows that, well, I have to say that I personally pushed this show very hard because it's really smart. It's funny and smart. It's female powered, centered, does not leave out the man at all. It's just a really beautiful show about relationships, and it's so funny.
And I was with a friend last night who saw it at some other theater company down south, and we were talking before we went on the air that it was the most produced play in regional theaters in 2014 or something.
Yeah,
like
that's right. So this group called Theater Communications Group puts out a yearly thing of the top 10 produced plays of the season. So seasons run, you know, differently, but mostly 9 months a year for most theaters. And yeah, it's a really hot play. So it's by Sarah Rule, who is a playwright that if you saw Eurydice a few years ago, she wrote that. She wrote The Clean House. She's just written a lot of really good plays. And she's a very hot young playwright who's mid-30s.
Right, and her play and her work's here. And
yeah,
you know, for the next
right.
3 weeks or 4 weeks?
4 weeks.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. And so now we have spring break camp. Call the theater 364.
2421.
Okay.
That's right.
And then we've got the new play. Get your tickets.
That's great.
And then what about this UAS Perseverance semester?
So,
what's going on?
Sure. Yeah. We've been in residence. We've been the theater in residence at UAS for many, many years. It's a great partnership that we truly enjoy. And this semester, we are offering a performance intensive. So it's a performance class that UAS students sign up for. And this year we've decided to focus on theater for youth. So we've been working on a play called The Fisherman and His Wife. And this play is, it's an old fairy tale, and it's been adapted to fit for really young kids, so first and second grade kids. And we'll be touring this around to the Juneau School District. And it's really exciting. The students are, you know, they're off book, they're memorized, they're, you know, working hard on their characterization. And then also we're really learning the difference between what it means to be an actor for children's theater and an actor when you're working on, say, something like Sarah Rule. It's a very different story. So it's been a lot of fun exploring with them. And UAS, you know, makes that partnership possible. So it's really great. It's a great way to blend the Juneau School District and Perseverance Theater and the University of Alaska Southeast.
And when you say you're touring, where are you going to perform in the schools? Like when you go into the six elementary schools, where are you going to perform?
Yeah, well, sometimes we're performing in classrooms. Sometimes we're performing in a gym. One mm-hmm. place we're performing in a library.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a small, and I air quote set, it's mm-hmm. very, very small. So, You know, it's mainly focused on physical theater, so actors using their bodies to really help tell the story, and then great costuming, of course.
And little kids love pratfalls. They just love
nothing better than a good pratfall.
You know, Three Stooges, they just love that type of humor. Keystone Cops, it's amazing how it never fails.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so like if that wasn't enough to keep you busy, let's talk about the summer, your foundational summer program, back to still on kids, but back to the Perseverance Theater camps that are all run at the theater?
All run at the theater.
Okay, great. So that's the location for them. So one of their foundational pieces is the STAR program, which is 4 or 5 weeks where a play is performed. Have you picked the plays for this summer?
We have. So STAR is for ages 10 to 18. We have 3 plays this summer. We have Antigone, which will be directed by Donnie Scott. And she's a great director. It's a really amazing piece of theater. It's a tragedy, but it has all those things that kids really, really can bite their teeth into. And it's a really great piece. It's written for young performers especially. We'll also be doing Singin' in the Rain Junior, which is actually Singin' in the Rain is the musical, and then they do the junior adaptations of these musicals for young performers. And this one specifically just got released. So we're one of the first theaters to actually do this rendition or the junior version of it. That will be directed by Don Colden. Those two STAR instructors have been with the program year after year after year after year, and they're amazing, amazing people. The third show will be a generative piece with Kira McDonald, and Kira came up, she's come up 2 summers now, and she's a dynamo clown performer, and I mean in the European trained clown sense of the word, kind of like Roblin Gray Davis's work here in town.
That sounds wonderful.
It's awesome. It's just going to be so much fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing the shows.
Right, and I'm just going to share one quick story, and then we're going to have to go. So I don't know his last name, but several years ago, the STAR did Much Ado, and there was a high school kid or middle school kid in one of the smaller parts who was recently the lead in Seven Brides, Seven Brothers, who was just a dynamo. And for me, seeing the evolution of that young actor and how much he came, and because of the seed or because of what he learned, and, you know, you can't really pinpoint one thing, but STAR is so woven into so much of our student performers. I mean, you probably have seen so many through the years come by in all the productions at the middle schools, at the high schools, at all the various art programs.
Yeah, well, it's awesome. I've been doing STAR for 13 years, so 13 summers. And so it's an amazing thing because I've watched Michelle Amore, you know, it's my job to feed her program and to feed Barb Meyer's program out at Thunder Mountain High School. And then it's a great reciprocal relationship. And that's the best part of my job, is to see young students keep going through their acting. And you know, some decide to go to college. And there's quite a few of those students who are down south working on their theater careers. And I've been here long enough to actually watch that happen. And it's been very special for me.
That's great. Well, Shona, thanks so much for coming by and all you do for the community. So it's spring break. It's new show at Perseverance. UAS traveling around the schools in a little bit to put on a children's play, and then STAR this summer.
Yeah.
Keep you busy.
That's right.
All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
It is half past the hour. It's March 10th. You're listening to Juno Afternoon. Jeff Brown's the producer and engineer of the show. I am Joan Pardis, your Thursday talking head. And our next guest, you know how we move it along here on Juno Afternoon, is Sherry Van Wolf. She's here from SAIL. And Amber Smith, she's here from the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. And they're here to talk about an event that's coming up next week. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you very much.
So let's talk about this. There's a winter workshop.
So basically, we have a main event on Wednesday, March 16th, from 9 to 5 at Centennial Hall. And I should mention that Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska and SAIL are co-sponsoring this with support from Alaska Mental Health Trust. But the main event on Wednesday is in the small ballroom. It's an all-day event, and we have two nationally renowned speakers coming. So we're really looking forward to it.
Okay, let's back up. So it's at Centennial Hall from 9 to 5 on March 16th, two speakers. And let's talk about the topic. I'm assuming it has to do with Alzheimer's, but let's talk a little bit about the topic and who the workshop or day is for, the event is for.
Good, would you like to?
Amber's going to answer.
Yeah,
this.
Sure. Well, we have two speakers. So the first is Dr. Alan Power. And he's going to be talking about well-being and how to support people with progressive dementias in having a great life. His talk is for professional providers, so folks who work with people with dementia as their job. And it's also for family caregivers, or what we now call care partners. So family and friends, people who are with people because of their relationship, not because they're paid to be there.
Okay, so anyone who is impacted by Alzheimer's.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and other progressive dementias.
Okay, mm-hmm. Great. Absolutely. All right, and then the other speaker is Rosemary Baker.
Yes, Rosemary Baker is a certified interior designer and dementia educator, and she's also an author. She's written a book on revitalizing your home, building beautiful living space for the second half of your life, which is kind of covers universal design principles and accessibility for aging in place. And so she'll be talking about the home and lots of simple modifications you can make to stay aging in place, but related to dementia and dementia-related conditions, how people can be independent as long as possible, how they can be safe, things that reduce agitation in the environment, and looking at an environment relationship between caregiver and just the individual's well-being as well.
That sounds great. It's kind of like style and OT all
right.
At once.
Yeah,
that sounds very interesting. So it's a full-day event, and is there a fee? Do you have to register?
There is a fee, and you do have to register. It's $125 for the full day, and we are offering CEUs for nurses and social workers. Half day is, I believe, $65. This event is free to family caregivers, but we would like them to register. They do need to register so we can make sure to have enough packets and food for them. So anyone who would like more information can go to our website at sailinc.org or call Amber or myself. And I can give that information that we can share at the end.
That would be great.
Time.
Okay. And then this same duo, your guest speakers are going to Anchorage beforehand, and then they'll be coming down to Juneau. That sounds great, making the most of getting to the big centers in Alaska. And then what's happening on March 17th?
So March 17th is sort of a follow-up complimentary event. It's Rosemary Baker is staying an extra day. And she will be speaking for about an hour at the Mendenhall Valley Library, kind of going through this multimedia website that she developed where you go through every room in your house and you get tips for making it safer. I mean, it's really cool.
It sounds really neat thing. Wonderful.
And so this will also be broadcast through the State Owl Library.
Right. So it's it's kind of like teleconference or Skyping through all the libraries.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
That's wonderful in the state. So, wow, that sounds wonderful. So two national experts here in town to talk about helping people with all different, I'm not sure, say Alzheimer's, but it's not really as Alzheimer's.
It's not just Alzheimer's.
Right, it's more
dementia in general.
Okay, that sounds great. So In your travels here, in your professional lives, do you have any tips before we wrap up and get all the, you know, information as far as how people could sign up? Do you have any tips for people who are listening right now as far as if they feel that maybe they, somebody they know might be affected by dementia or that they need some resources or so on and so forth? Do you have any tips?
Mm-hmm. I would say the biggest tip is, if you feel someone is affected, if you're concerned, if you're going through this, is to reach out for help and to reach out right away. So often we think we need to do everything ourselves and we don't reach out and look for resources till it's a crisis. So giving a call, and if you give a call, I think to most organizations, we're going to refer to each other where there's sort of this idea of no wrong door, call somebody. And we're going to try to get you some resources and help that you need.
Right. And the nonprofit community in Juneau is just amazing that way, as far as pointing people in the right direction. And Amber is the education specialist for the Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. And she's based here, as is Sherry. They're both based here in town. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions, you could search them out on the web through SAIL or Alzheimer's Resource of Alaska. And then it sounds like this is an amazing opportunity. So if you're a professional, there's a fee. If you're a professional in the field, there's a fee for the CEUs and so on and so forth, continuing education units, I would imagine. And then if you're a family member or a care partner, you can come and learn for free.
Yes.
So, wow, that sounds fantastic. So let's talk a little bit about websites and telephone numbers. So if people want to sign up, which you're encouraged definitely to do so you could have lunch.
Right, so you can have lunch and a seat and a packet, and we know you're coming.
Exactly.
It's all good.
So you can be prepared for that. And then also if you have any questions for the organizers, that would be great.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So the website, our website is sailinc, sailinc.org, or you can call Amber at 586-6044 or Sherry at 586-4920.
Right. And it seems to me, and maybe it's not true, but I'm going to say it seems to me that there's been so many advances in this field of late that if you went to, you know, that if you've been, you know, maybe if you're doing things the way you've been doing things for a couple of years, it might be really worth it to come and hear these national experts in Juneau and their professional opinions.
I think that's really true because our style of care has changed over the years. What we think is the standard of care has changed. And even if you are doing what's the current standard of care, I think it's great to come and get re-energized, to remember why we're doing this, to hear from a national expert, and to be in the room with other people doing the same thing. That's really powerful in itself, I think.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you both for all that you do for Juneau. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
This is Bird Note. While nearly a third of North American bird species are in decline, many birds that depend on wetlands are thriving. The main determinant of duck breeding success is the condition of wetlands and upland habitat on the prairies and in the boreal forest. After the extended droughts of the 1980s, conditions on the breeding grounds improved when the rains returned. And waterfowl hunters, through organizations like Ducks Unlimited, have provided hundreds of millions of dollars to conserve and restore wetlands. It's not just ducks that benefit. Nearly one quarter of U.S. birds, such as this Virginia rail, rely on freshwater wetlands. Yes, challenges remain. Breeding habitat in the prairie pothole region is under increasing pressure for conversion to agriculture. But wetland birds respond to our efforts. For example, in spring, in wetland-rich areas protected by conservation programs in the Dakotas, you can find more than 100 breeding pairs of ducks on a single square mile of prairie. Learn more at birdnote.org.
Mondays are back at the Diamond Park Aquatic Center, now open Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. until 8 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m., and Sundays noon until 6 p.m. Schedules are available online at juno.org/parkrec/diamondpark. For more information, call Diamond Park Aquatic Center at 586-2782.
Hello, we are back. It's 20 minutes to the hour. It is still 40 in the valley, 45 downtown Juneau, and 43 at the airport. So we just heard Bird Note, and now we're going to move to the fish. So it's Trout Unlimited. Kayla Royce is here. She's a board member of Trout Unlimited, and she's here to talk about the International Fly Fishing Film Festival here in Juneau. Hey, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So what is cooking with the International Fly Fishing Film Fest?
Yeah, so the International Fly Fishing Film Festival, also referred to as the IF4 for short,
is a mouthful.
It is a mouthful, yes. It's a series of sort of short and feature-length films that are put together, similar to, like, say, the Banff Mountain Film Festival, but they all sort of revolve around fly fishing. And so we've brought it here to Juneau in the past, and yeah, so with the help, the Trout Unlimited of Juneau, of Southeast, and Alaska Fly Fishing Goods, we sort of brought it to Juneau this year. It's going to be Friday night at the Rockwell Ballroom, so it should be a really good time.
That's great. So that's tomorrow night?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
At what time?
So the doors open at 6 p.m., and the feature starts at 7. We'll have a bunch of really big raffle items. We're going to give away a lot of big items, so you should definitely be there.
Oh, wow. We're going to get to the big items in a minute.
Yeah.
So how much are tickets, and where can you get them?
So the tickets right now, they're $12 if you buy them in advance. You can purchase them at Alaska Fly Fishing Goods, the shop, or you can also purchase them online at flyfishfilm.com. They're $12 in advance and $15 at the door.
Okay. And so let's go back. This is a fundraiser, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay. And where do the funds go?
So the fundraising it's all going straight back to the local chapter of Trout Unlimited. And so right now there's a bunch of sort of conservation-ish of things going on in town. We're going to be planting a lot of vegetation around town and creek beds and whatnot. And so that's sort of where the effort is going. And the money right now is just sort of we're waiting for the right cause.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And let's talk about those big raffle items. So what are you giving away?
We've had some really great sponsors in town donate a lot of awesome products. Alaska Fly Fishing Goods has graciously donated a pair of G3 guide waders, retail value $500.
Whoa.
Alaskan Brewing Company has donated a $100 gift certificate to us.
Don't know what to do with that.
Yeah. Me neither. the Aurora Project has donated a bunch of goodies, as has a lot of different businesses in town. And so we'll give away a lot of hats, a lot of shirts, a lot of magazines. And those two big ticket items are sort of the ones that I'm hoping that I win.
There you go. So let's talk a little bit about Trout Unlimited. What do you guys do? So you're doing these conservation projects around town.
Yeah, so the local chapter, you know, we sort of, we're a small board. I think there's 8 to 10 of us on the board. And then our membership is all actually throughout the Tongass. So it's the Southeast Alaska chapter. So right now we are primarily focused in Juneau just because that's where the board is. We're trying to sort of branch out to other communities as well. Right now, you know, we sort of target to keep freshwater spawning grounds and just freshwater fisheries in safe, you know, form for future generations of, you know, salmon, trout, and steelhead. And so that's sort of what we aim to do. Around town here in Juneau, there's a lot of creeks that just have trails that are sort of falling into creek beds and whatnot. So we're going to be planting a lot of vegetation this summer. That's really our what I think we're going to work on.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
And do you fish?
I do, yes.
Okay, so when is fly fishing season? When does it start?
So the season is pretty much May through September.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing Trout Unlimited, we team up with a couple of other groups in town, the Rain Country Fly Fishers and also Alaska Fly Fishing Goods, and we do a big casting night at Twin Lakes in May. And the date is still not set in stone, but it'll be sort of mid-May, and we bring all of our rods and all of our instructors, and we get out on the grass and cast some rods and teach a bunch of lessons. So that's sort of our first event of the spring for fishing season, and then But the fishing is made through September, so the winter we just kind of sit around and twiddle our thumbs.
Well, you make flies, right?
Yes, exactly.
You twiddle flies.
Yeah.
So Kayla's here because there's the IF4, which is the
International Fly Fishing Film Festival.
And it's tomorrow night at the Rockwell Ballroom. It starts at 7, doors open at 6,
yes.
$12 advance tickets,
yes.
and 15 at the door. And have you seen any of these films?
I have. I had to preview the film. It was such an awful thing to do. You know, I had to make sure it worked properly. And there are a bunch of really great films. The films are from all over the world, so it's really interesting. A lot of really great, you know, filming and whatnot. So it's a great film. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's great. So tell me some of the locations where...
There's some tuna fishing. There's some salmon fishing. There's some brown trout fishing. There is some steelhead fishing in all different locations, I guess. Yeah, all over the world. So there's one with a bunch of Arctic char, which is sort of up in our neck of the woods, which was my favorite in the film.
All right. That sounds great. Well, Kayla, thanks so much
thanks
for coming
me.
By. And if you need volunteers for your replanting project, feel
we
free to come on by.
Future.
All righty. We're going to take a short break, and then Nancy DiCerni will be here with Arts Up.
2, 3, 4. I'm going fishing and I'm flying low. I'm going fishing and I'm flying low. The Kenai River flows just 2 hours from my door. I'm going fishing and I'm flying low. I saw an eagle fly in the sky. The fish weren't biting, and I wondered why. I wondered if that's his favorite dish.
Hello, we're back. Nancy DiCerni is here, and she tells me, well, she told Jeff and I, that there is a slam-packed weekend, so we better get right to it.
Yeah,
hi,
I don't
Nancy.
Know. I don't think we can do it.
Okay. Oh, I have total faith in you. Go,
okay,
girl, go.
Let's see what we got. So there are some things. There's tango dancing tonight at 7 out at Suite 907. I Thirst the Year of Mercy at the Red Dog. It's at 7:30 to 9. It's for young people, so go there. And let's see, Home Show, the 2016 Home and Outdoor Living Expo is happening over at Centennial Hall. Opens on Friday with a wine tasting, and then goes through the weekend.
Wow.
In case you're planning to remodel or anything.
It's spring. Holy moly.
Yeah, let's go get some new paint or something.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
know about like that. So there's that. There's a, speaking of paint, there's an aerosol art show out at the Northern Tea House, which is out of 9310 Glacier Highway. It's free. Cecilia Westman and Vainglorious will be. She's got the painting there doing the music. So
nice.
That's from 6 to 8 out at...
is that tonight or tomorrow night?
That is Friday night. We have moved to Friday.
All right,
you were just talking about the International Fly Fishing Film Festival, so we don't have to talk about that. That's at Rockwell at 6. There's an International Dance Workshop at the Filipino Community Hall. Lee Otterholt. He comes, he's come before. The Juneau International Folk Dance folks bring him up, and he does a weekend of folk dance workshops, and those will be at the Filipino Hall for the weekend, starting on Friday night at 7 p.m. But starting on Friday night at 7 p.m. is a whole lot of other stuff.
Okay,
too.
Let's hear it.
So, all right. You're going to have to take notes. And your vitamins. The Juneau Lyric Opera opens Man of La Mancha at JDHS, and that's running, I think, 2 weekends. You have this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then the next one. And then you've already talked about the PT play.
We talked a little bit about it. That the new play starts tomorrow night, previews tonight.
And it starts, opening night is 7:30 Friday night, and it runs through April 3rd or something like that, I think, but, you know, that's right around the corner.
So you don't want to miss this one. This is going to be very funny. Some of the folks from PT work on my staff, too, and they just said this is really upbeat and funny. So we need that.
Let's go there.
Okay, so Saturday, as you mentioned, it's Springs at 9 a.m. to noon. Get Gardening 2016 over at the Zach Gordon Youth Center with the UAF folks.
Oh, fun.
Master Gardening things, some gardening tips, planting tips, all that sort of stuff. It's time. You can see everything out there's growing already without us, so we better get ahead of them. 10 a.m. Bowl-a-thon at the Canvas Community Arts Center. You get an hour of going in and helping them. Actually, goes from 10 until 4. Wheel time and whatnot, so that you can make bowls for the Empty Bowls Project, which benefits the Glory Hole.
That's a nice little pun, bowl-a-thon.
Bowl-a-thon. And as I mentioned, there's the International Dance Workshop going on, 10 to 4:30, and the home show, and there's a Nordic race schedule. I don't know how they're doing that. So Saturday night is when you got to make some big
hard
choices,
decisions.
Hard decisions,
okay.
Rock, scissors, paper,
Pros,
and more.
Cons. Yeah, here we go. What are the options?
Okay, 7 p.m., the Juno Dance Theater, Juno's Got Talent.
Oh, it's the first time.
It's the first time, and I've seen the lineup, and Jocelyn Miles and Bobby Mitchell, who just were at the Motown thing, mm-hmm. are among the competitors. There are some amazingly talented people that are going to be singing in this. They have a lineup of judges that includes Costa and Frank Atass and Shona and a whole bunch of really exciting people on that list, too. So it's going to be a really fun evening, and it all benefits the dance community. So
right, and that's
Juno Dance Theater. That's at the Jack.
And that's 7 p.m.
7 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Alaska Youth Choir, also at 7 p.m., has The Songs We Sing. This is at Faith Lutheran Church, which is out in the Valley area.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. 7 p.m., JLO, Man of La Mancha. This is at Juno Douglas Little Theater. The Downtown
Juno
Auditorium.
Juno Larry Garber at the
auditorium.
JD at the high school.
Right. And you've got PT in the next room. And you've got the Symphony Showcase at Northern Light United Church. So I don't know. How are you going to decide? Okay, so some of these have two options. Symphony Showcase has two options. PT has more than two. JLO has more than two. It's Juno's Got Talent, and the Youth Choir, I think, are your ones that you're going to have to make
it.
Some scissors.
Yeah.
Yeah, do some serious thinking about. Okay, on Sunday, you can go to the home show. You can go to the international dance thing. You could go to the Man of La Mancha. They're just doing a matinee at 2:30, and there's a showcase doing a 3 o'clock matinee, and that one is in Aldersgate. So they alternate back and forth. And there's a 4 p.m. matinee of In the Next Room, the Vibrator play. So a couple of things that you can do there. On Mondays, assuming you make it through this weekend, because it's a tough one, there's a planetarium show out at the Valley Public Library at 7 p.m. And there's actually at 6:30, there's a boating skills and seamanship course at the Yacht Club. So it's probably time to get your boat out and get yourself trained up on that sort of stuff.
Wait. There's a planetarium show at the
Valley
Public Library?
Well, I was
really
curious about that, too. So we might have to call them up and ask, but apparently it's at the Valley Public Library.
Fun.
So, well, yeah. Sure, fun. On Tuesday, the big event, as far as I'm concerned, is the statewide finals for the Poetry Out Loud competition, which takes place here in the 360 Studios. It is 9 kids from around the state, each representing their region. These are the regional winners, and they compete by reciting. Each have memorized 3 poems. They recite them, and are judged, and the winner from this competition represents Alaska in at Washington, D.C., competing for a $20,000 scholarship, and last year the Alaska contestant won.
Woo! and name of that poetry?
Mava Ordaz.
All right.
Anyway, I always encourage you, it's a free event. I encourage people to come and just be amazed and moved, and it's a powerful, powerful evening of
Tuesday
poetry.
Tuesday at what time?
Tuesday at 5.
All right.
Or you could go West Coast Swing Dancing at 7 p.m. at Suite 907, or you could study diesel engines at 6 p.m. over at the UAS Ed Tech Center. But I vote that you come see the poetry.
Well, I think you could do all.
You could do maybe do it all. Let's see. On Wednesday, there is at 9 a.m. Excellence in Dementia Care, Enhancing Wellbeing, Improving Living Centers.
Just
you just talked about
that.
Yeah, it's a really great selection of
national
studies.
Experts in the field.
Yeah. So if,
sounds wonderful.
Yeah. Take time to be part of that if you can. It's also Kick Butts Day at Heritage Coffee, so it's a good thing to do, too. It is, there's a screening of Scarlet Road to benefit Community United for Safety and Protection over at the Goldtown Nickelodeon. We are having our Arts Roundtable. Usually we have that on Tuesdays, but because of Poetry Out Loud, we've moved it to Wednesday, and it will be also at the KTOO conference room. This month, Katrina Pearson, who's part of Taku Graphics, which is a local business that really helps artists get their artwork marketed and sold, is going to come and talk to artists about what you need to do, what you need to be thinking about if you want to get your artwork out and sold and become sort of a marketed well. So,
wow, that's fascinating.
So, yeah, come and talk
with
her.
That's a fascinating opportunity.
That's
so great.
5 p.m. on Wednesday down here at K2. So that's actually kind of it. It's just that Saturday is so full.
It's very full. It's very full. Well,
yeah.
Thanks for dropping by.
Yes, thanks
and
for
to give
me.
Us, you know, food for thought. Everyone hit your computers, figure out what you're going to do. Maybe you need a war room, you know, a schedule so you can fit it all in.
I need a schedule.
Exactly. All right. Thanks, Nancy. So we're going to wrap up here. It is 4 minutes to the hour. You've been listening to Juno Afternoon on KTOO in Alaska's capital city. Jeff Brown is the producer of the show. I'm Joan Pardis. And here we go. Tonight, numerous rain showers developing overnight. Snow level 1,000 feet. Lows around 34. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming sunny. Scattered rain showers in the morning. Highs around 46. Southeast wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, diminishing in the afternoon. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Lows around 31. East wind 10 to 20 miles per hour. And then Saturday, increasing clouds, highs around 44, east wind 10 to 20 miles per hour, and Saturday night, mostly cloudy, lows around 33. It looks like we're mostly cloudy for the rest of the week, according to this forecast, which is pretty good. We'll take mostly cloudy. So tomorrow, Andy Klein is hosting Juno Afternoon, as he does most Fridays, so you definitely want to tune in. And as always, you could tune in anytime on ktoo.org. Thanks for listening.